Okay, listeners. We're back with the second hour of the broadcast. And let's bring John back. Vicky will be back with us. John, go ahead.
Chris, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I want to just make a few more comments. That conference that was gathering in 1800s was formed to what is now the NEA. And these curriculums that these behavioral psychologists develop challenge the children psychologically and spiritually. And a gentleman that my brother interviewed from, I believe, Oregon State, he's a professor, a psychologist, calls a criminal with what techniques they're using. And this program was developed, the school-to-work program was developed or came to be in the 90s, but in the late 80s, the 1980s, David Rockefeller met with Hillary Clinton and a group of other people to develop the program. And it's pervasive through every school. And the states can get out of it by refusing the money, federal money, which they probably won't.
Right.
And these tests, my brother who homeschooled his daughter until this year, she's in seventh grade, and she's in a great school district up here north of Traverse City, Harbor Springs.
Right.
They handed a test out, the teacher did, which my niece recognizes being a psychological testing piece of work, and she took the test, did not hand it back in, and took it to my brother, because it's illegal to psychologically test children without parents' permission, and they're doing this constantly. And this program that Vicky's talking about, every county and every city will have a place you have to go to register for work. With this program, it's so outrageous and just so disgusting.
Yeah, you see, that's the dot you connected with Vicky, and that's the point that you called in about.
Right.
Yeah.
But it can be fought with people getting educated, but this is something that goes way back, way back. And
yes, it does go way back. You're correct. Yeah.
It's going to take a while to get it straightened up. But this Jed Brown out in Oregon would be someone to back this up and explain what exactly is happening with these children today.
Why don't you do this? Why don't you find me his phone number, email it to me so I can call him and bring him up on the air next week, if that's possible?
That and even Sam Blumenfeld.
Listen, if you can help me out, and listeners, if you can help me out, give me the phone number of the proper guest you think I should bring on. Email it to me. I'll call them, and we'll set it up. How do you think of that? That will work, John.
They're all looped in with Charlotte. It's a big circle of all these knowledgeable people on the corruption of our system here.
Absolutely.
Okay,
let's do that. Thank you, John. Okay. Once again, this notice of parental authority to refuse consent is there in the solution section of our website. And this is part of it, listeners. And it's all about serving notice to schools that parents refuse vaccination, sex education, family profiling, psychiatric screening, psychotropic drug dispensing, or obesity testing even. So this is in the solution section of our website. Now we go back to Vicky and HR 3333. Continue with your thoughts, Vicky.
Program. Initially, they billed it as a program for troubled students, but actually, it's a plan that they plan on having all students participate in, regardless of your school district.
There you go.
And by the ninth grade, they're planning on kids choosing their career path, and they will teach math and English that's appropriate for that career path.
Okay, this is very important, Vicky. So we're going to stay with her, listeners. Continue to hear what she has to say about HR 3333 and more. Stay with us. Podcast. Vicky's talking about HR 3333. Vicky, continue.
Well, I should tell you that I'm not an expert on education. I am a computer systems analyst, and that's how it is that I'm able to see how they've designed this system step by step by step. And this last piece, the America's Job Bank, is the final piece that pulls it all together. And now, going back to the kids in the ninth grade, if a child chooses cosmetology, for example, as their career path, they will be pushed off into what they call, at least this is a, as I understand it, pushed off into a smaller learning community where they will have business and education combined to train that child to be a cosmetologist, so that when she leaves high school or he leaves high school, they will have a certificate of a certain amount of training towards cosmetology, and they will be taught math and English appropriate for that career.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this will be recorded on their school record, which will then automatically go to the workforce development system. Okay, now in Florida, maybe the reason why that, why your program is getting jammed today is because I was going to mention Florida, because they're farther along in the development of their system than a lot of the other states. They actually have the combined workforce education system called one-stop shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts at preschool and, you know, goes through. And it says right on their website, you know, there's a part on there for early childhood learning and then who the partners are. And this is, you know, businesses that are involved in this.
Let me let those listeners know real quick. Keep your thought in place. Listeners, if you have a frequency problem, you can tune it down a little bit or tune it up a little bit to try and clear up that other frequency that's jamming us. Sometimes that works. So I thought I'd let you all know that you can tune it out a little bit sometimes. Okay, Vicki, go ahead. Please continue.
But the plan, it is, John was right, it is the Soviet education of polytechnical education. And they view the school system as being a device to train workers. It's not to educate children. It's not to create good citizens. It's to educate workers.
Actually, you're using the right word, worker bots.
Uh-huh, worker bots.
Right.
And along with that, there will be the socialization part of it, which is the attitude. And your other caller mentioned the psychological assessment. Well, I saw the data elements in the data. I have the data dictionary for the system. And there are not only data elements in there for that, for psychological and personality profiles, but also for IQ tests and aptitudes for various things and disciplinary actions, everything you can possibly imagine that you would record about a student and his family, they are recording.
Uh-huh.
There's recently they've been talking about Parents as Teachers program. What they're actually doing is going into the home. They're using AmeriCorps and social workers, but they're actually going into the home, collecting information about the family, and this is supposedly to educate parents on how to help socialize their children and get them emotionally and educationally ready for school.
Huh.
But basically, it's just sending spies into your home so that they can collect information and they can get you used to that kind of intrusion into your life.
Now, listen, they're obviously going to ask a question about, is there a gun in the house?
Oh, yeah.
You know, is there a gun in the house? How many guns are in the house, you know?
Yeah. Do you use drugs? Have you ever been convicted of a drug crime? Do you have, what disabilities do you have? What diseases did your run in your family. And, of course, all that information will be used for a prospective employer in the future to say, well, no, diabetes runs in this candidate's family, so we don't want to hire him, you know, because we'll because it will cost us money on insurance.
Go ahead.
All of these programs that they're implementing right now for supposedly for low-income kids, the CHIPS insurance, they're bringing dentists into the schools, they're bringing psychologists into the schools, probably vision care. That's so that they can have, the school can have the medical records of the child in their entirety. And as with everything else with education, they start out small, you know, with a population of children where you say, oh, well, that sounds like a good program, you know, like dental care for the low-income kids. Sounds like a good thing.
Right.
But when you understand that what their plan is this is so that they can have the medical records for all the children, then you have to say, oh, wow, you know, this is not good. This is terrible, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely.
Because this information will be used to control the future of Americans and their participation in the labor market in the future.
And there it is.
If you don't have a good attitude when you're in school, if you don't socialize the way that these teachers think you should, then you'll have black marks in your record, and it will follow you for the rest of your life.
There it is. Vital information, frightening information, and the point is H.R. 3333 might be, you know, a direction, but it's already being done in other schools, isn't it? Isn't it, Vicki? Isn't this already being implemented in other schools at this point in time?
Yes, it does. Well, what 3333 does is build the final piece.
Uh-huh.
The national database, and it gives the Secretary of Labor the power.
What is the title of it?
It's called the Real Guest Act or something like that.
Okay.
Interesting. I had to turn off my machine. My machine got attacked while I was it was doing a defrag all of a sudden.
Uh-huh.
So I turned it off, so I lost my place.
I see.
But
how ironic is that?
It's very spooky, I'm telling you, because I've never done a defrag. I've never initiated a defrag on my disk.
Uh-huh.
And so anyway.
You're versed on all this computer technology, and so you understand that things are going strangely for you on purpose.
It was an anomalous act.
Uh-huh.
Something had to trigger it, and whatever it was not good.
Why don't you stay here and let's see what Don in Ohio has to say. Don, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello.
Yeah, Vicki, stay with us.
I got a couple. Excuse me?
Yeah, I just wanted Vicki to stay with us. Go ahead, Don.
I got a couple things I'd like to go over real quick if it's all right.
Sure.
Okay. A couple years ago, I had CB and stuff like that in my truck, and you know, I basically got rid of it because they have no law down in Mexico where, you know, they have how much power you can put out and stuff like that. So,
uh-huh.
You know, I mean, we're talking up here in Ohio, and, you know, the Mexicans are taking over. I mean, they're still in Mexico, but, you know, you couldn't get, you know, a word in edgewise without hearing that down there. So I think it might be a good idea to have either, you know, somebody that has a boat out in the Gulf or something like that, you know, have that kind of setup, you know, blast out, you know, RBN on a frequency. You know, they can't do nothing. You're in international waters. You know, get it on a CB channel, or you can go to maybe an Indian reservation or something like that, someplace where, you know, they can't say something. I don't know if they can on Indian reservations, but out in the Gulf, you know, they can't say, you know, how much power you're allowed to put out on that frequency. So you can get a lot of CBers, you know, listening to the station, you know, by just blasting out, you know, a few watts.
Interesting.
Another thing is, I don't know if it's possible, but, you know, while, you know, I think my phone's been tapped for a while. I've got a website, and, you know, it's, well, anyways, it's eBook Vault, eBook Vault. It's, if you Google it, you'll find it. It's a bunch of free eBooks and stuff like that, and it's got Charlotte Isserby's stuff on there and a bunch of other stuff, used the small ones and all.
Okay, that's eBook Vault?
Yeah.
.com?
Well, it's Tripod, so...
Uh-huh. Okay, so you do a search on eBook Vault, and it'll come up?
It should, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, on security and stuff like that, people are getting bugged and stuff like that a lot from government. How about, I don't know if you can do this or not, but how about having a number where we can call in and, you know, while we're online, it will check our line to see if it, it detects any kind of a bugs or something like that.
That's a good idea. Is there such a thing?
I don't know if it's possible or not, but it's interesting. Maybe have somebody on in the future for you know, our own homeland security, you know, against the government.
Right.
Another thing, you said bring up somebody that would be a good guest and stuff like that. Yeah,
right.
I always like to listen to Frosty Wooldridge.
I'd like to interview him, and we'd have a debate. And if you can connect that dot, I'd appreciate it. And email me his phone number so we can talk, and we'll bring him up.
Yeah, see if he might consider, you know, I mean, if it was all right with Carl Schwartz, you know, if he'd think about being a running mate.
Thank you, Don. Welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. Go to our website, AmericanExposé.com. You will find ChannelingReality.com, Vicki's website. Here we are, HR 3333, listeners. The Real Guest Act of 2005. In there is Section 101. It's under Title 1, Rewarding Employers That Abide by the Law, listeners. That's Rewarding Employers That Abide by the Law. And Section 101. H, I guess, non-immigrant worker category. It says here, Section 101A15H of the Immigration and Nationality Act, 8 U.S. Code 1101A15H is amended to read as follows. And it says H. Any alien having a residence in a foreign country which the alien has no intention of abandoning, who is coming temporarily to the United States to perform work, for which qualified and lawfully present workers are not available, is that really true? And could not be trained in a period of less than 1 year, and with respect to whom the Secretary of Labor determines and certifies to the Secretary of Homeland Security that the intending employer has filed with the Secretary an application under Section 212N1. Well, we don't know what that is. We have to research that to get to that situation. But here we are in Homeland Security, Vicki.
Oh, yeah. It's all tied in with Homeland Security because they will be, this system will allow the import of foreigners into our country, into the labor market.
This is the police state system.
Totally.
Yes.
Total police state system.
Mm-hmm.
And the governor's recent plan to redesign the high schools is a piece of that.
Yeah, now I'm looking right here at the newspaper. Once again, $2.5 billion hike sought for schools, dated October 1st. You see, it says here among the additional state legislative funding requirements, it says $96.5 million more for transportation budgets, more than $85 million to restore funding cuts from previous years, $54.6 million for teacher raises, $5.3 million for instructional materials and textbooks, $3 million for local staff development funding, and $2.4 million for the National Board of Certified Teachers bonuses. Well, this is just in Oklahoma. $2.5 billion hike sought for schools. And what you're talking about here is going to cost a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the final piece, you know, for doing this police state control system. And people want to give their kids the very best in education, and they've used that against us all the way along. And the more integrated the feds have gotten into education, the worse our education system has gotten.
Yeah.
And since the 1990s, you know, with Goals 2000, they've been saying, well, our kids need more math and more science to compete in the global economy. Well, what George Bush did on November 9th, 2001, is that he signed a trade agreement with India that basically traded away all of our knowledge and technology jobs.
And you have that experience yourself.
Yeah. My career was outsourced. After 2000, I could no longer find a job in my career. And I found out about the outsourcing, but I didn't realize that George Bush signed that agreement with India until probably 2002 or maybe early 2003. But basically, that decimated not only our labor market for knowledge and technology jobs for now and in the future, it decimated the tax base. And all of the struggles that you see going on in the states and the wringing of the hands about Social Security and everything else, it's because of the export of these knowledge jobs, these high-dollar jobs. If you export a $60,000 a year job, you're exporting the tax base that goes with it.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, this didn't just help businesses. It hurt our government. It hurt our infrastructure, and it hurt the future of this country.
Absolutely.
And
isn't this the integration of the UN system and the educational system?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this guy named Thomas Barnett, a military strategist. He summed it up really well when he said, when he was talking about the new system, he was saying, is it going to be the West against the rest or the best against the rest?
Oh, wow.
Now what you have to understand about that is that your child, you know, living in Peoria, Illinois, they might be able to compete really well against the other kids in Peoria, Illinois, or probably New York City or wherever. But if you put that child against all of the minds of all of the brilliant people in the entire world, how is your child going to stack up?
Now, let's continue on the other side. This is vital information. She's done a lot of research here. And once again, it's H.R. 3333, Real Guest Act of 2005. Ouch. Stay with us. Broadcast. Vicki, you're still with me, I correct? Vicki, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Here we see in this chapter pertaining to children in Agenda 21, they want to establish procedures allowing for consultation and possible participation of youth of both genders by 1993 in decision-making processes with regard to the environment involving youth at the local, national, and regional levels. And B, they want to promote dialogue with youth organizations regarding the drafting and evaluation of environment plans and programs or questions on development. C, consider for incorporation into relevant policies the recommendations of international, regional, and local youth conferences and other forums that offer youth perspectives on social and economic development and resource management. Then they go to D, ensure access for all youth of all types of education, whether appropriate or wherever appropriate, providing alternative learning structures, ensure that education reflects the economic and social needs of youth, and incorporates the concepts of environmental awareness and sustainable development throughout the curricula, and expand vocational training, implementing innovative methods aimed at increasing practical skills such as environmental scouting. It goes on, but doesn't this reflect on what you're reflecting?
Sure does. What they're doing is that they're using the environment and this agenda of sustainability to socialize children into the communist mode of thinking of the group rather than as an individual.
There you go.
And they're training them to work in committees and, you know, brain sharing and not thinking on their own.
Yeah, now this is under the title, Governments, According to Their Strategies, Should Take Measures, Too, and I just covered a few of them. There's more, but this is very relevant to Chapter 25, Children and Youth in Sustainable Development of Agenda 21. Continue, Vicki.
And that part of it is the most frightening thing to me of all.
Yeah.
Is training the kids for groupthink. Because I spent 25 years in corporations, and the corporations that function by committee, by groupthink, they don't do very well. They get paralysis. And that's what they're doing to our country, is transitioning to a philosophy that everything must be done by group, by consensus, by committee. And it will kill our country, of course, as it's the communist model. I mean, you know, when you get down to it, and the environmental agenda, there's a second part to that. They're also using the kids to collect data for the UN system. If you look in the GLOBE program, supposedly it's a school that is focused on science. But if you look at what they're really doing, they're collecting air samples and soil samples, water samples. They're describing the terrain. Basically, they're mapping our country for the UN.
Oh, wow.
And they're using the children to do it. And The kids they meet in these what are called smaller learning committees, which, you know, that goes back to what William Roberts was talking about with logical positivism. They give you a very generic sounding title for something that sounds good, you know, smaller learning communities. Who could object to that? It sounds good. But what it is, it's a smaller group of vocationally oriented education.
Now, Vicki, look, stay with me till the conclusion of the broadcast. We have Trish in Missouri, and let's bring Trish up and see what she has to say. And hello to Trish today. Hi.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, and hello to Vicki as well.
Hi.
I'd like to point out for those of you that intend to look at this load of nonsense, this bill is H.R. 3333. Look at the occultic symbol on that. Number one, that. And number two, look under job internet postings and see America's Job Bank.
Is this in this bill?
Yes. Yes, oh. That's what Vicki was talking about earlier.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right, Vicki?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, if those of you intend to look at that, which I know that obviously there are some that won't, but those of you that will find it.
Okay, I'll go back to the table of contents. And where are you talking about now, Trish?
I believe it's either job internet job postings, something like that. It's
Yeah, here it is. Internet-based job posting
there
system.
There you go.
Yeah, and this is right under the title, Rewarding Employers That Abide by the Law. Okay. Ouch. Uh-oh, it says, I have to please resubmit my search. Okay, well, yeah. It timed out.
Now, all of these internet job systems, they'll all be tied into America's Job Bank, because there are ways to code information in a system like that so that other systems can access it. So the systems like Monster and I can't think of the other ones offhand, but they'll all be tied into the same system too, and they will all be managed by the Department of Labor.
And we're not talking about Monster Mash either.
Well, it is MASH of the American Labor Force.
Well, that's right, but you know what I mean. We're not talking about that silly song.
Oh, no, no, no.
Okay, so here we see internet internet-based job posting system. In general, the Secretary of Labor shall take any steps necessary to ensure that all state employment agencies and all employers in the United States are able to acquire secure, password-protected access to the Internet-based job database provided jointly by the Department of Labor and state employment security agencies and known as America's Job Bank. There you go.
See, that's the key. They tie the workforce development systems, the unemployment systems of the state, to the schools, and they tie it all together to the National Job Data Bank. So you've got a seamless web, as Mark Tucker called it, the seamless web, cradle to grave, human resources development system. Just like a corporate system of human resources, you know, for a corporation, except that it's our citizens. It's our children that will be affected.
Now, Trish, you were being cynical about people not looking at this information.
Yeah.
They're, for them to not want to look at this and research this, shame on them.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's for sure. It's so important, and you have to always go in under the idea that everything is opposite of what they say. If they say it's good, you certainly know it isn't.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yes. It says here, employers shall be required to pay a user fee of $10 per worker sought through America's Job Bank. Such fees shall be placed by the Secretary of Labor in a fund to be used to maintain and improve America's Job Bank. Ouch.
Okay, now, well, not really. Here's what the ouch is. To list a job in America's Job Bank, it has to be encoded. It has to be able to be handled by a computer. So what they did is they commissioned Johns Hopkins, to do a system, to define a system of jobs and descriptions.
Of course, we've got to get the universities. We've got to get the universities.
And I'm getting there. And each job you'll have to have a certification for it. And to get a certification, it'll cost the kid maybe $80 or $100 or whatever it is to get this certification. And all it is on a lot of them is just a simple little internet test that they take that measures their attitudes and their skills or whatever. And they'll have to pay for this certification if they don't get it through the high school. So I saw one for customer service, if you can believe that. And it was going to be $80 to get certified by this Trade Association of Customer Service People. And so, you know, the $10 to list a job is not that much, you know, relative to the amount that people are going to have to pay for this certificate, which is just a piece of paper. It doesn't mean anything.
And I also want to point out, you were talking about everything for the group a while ago. That's altruism.
And what is that?
Where you live for others. Everything for the group.
There are not many people that are truly altruistic.
Oh, I understand that, but I mean, that's what they're trying to achieve.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there you are. It's all socialism.
Yeah.
And it's a monster. You know, and this is the point. Vicki found this, Trish. How many other bills out there are similar to this in different facets of society today?
Oh, my.
That we're unaware of.
I suspect that in the Kennedy-McCain bill that they're proposing. I bet you there is a similar proposal. And, of course, you know, the differences, whatever they are, will be resolved in committee, and there really aren't any differences because the bills are written by the same people.
Now Linda sent me H.R. 1343 to provide federal assistance to states and local jurisdictions to prosecute hate crimes. That's H.R. 1343. That, I don't think, was the one that Ted Pike was talking about. Then we see H.R. 1164 to amend the Omnibus Crime Control and Safe Streets Act of 1968 to dedicate certain funds for the purpose of reducing violence and hate crimes against Native Americans and reducing the incidence of crime on reservations and for other purposes. That's H.R. 1164. Here we have H.R. 682 to amend the Hate Crime Statistics Act to require the Attorney General to acquire data about crimes that manifest evidence of prejudice against or based on gender. That's H.R. 682. That's something we've never heard of before. H.R. 74, to enhance the federal enforcement of hate crimes and for other purposes. H.R. 74, that was January 3rd of 2001 now. That was way back when. But this is the problem. There were some people that came on the air at one time that were always on top of congressional bills and Senate bills, and we missed them.
Yeah. Well, this is like the shotgun approach. If you shoot a shotgun, it shoots BBs out, you know, clear over a broad landscape. You're bound to hit something. And that's what they're doing with these bills. They're including it in, you know, half a dozen different bills, and at least one of the bills will get passed, and they get the legislation in.
I think that happened with, and Trish, correct me if I'm wrong. It was the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act. I think it was in Patriot Act 2, where the states did not, some states did not go through with the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act. And so it was put in legislation. It was passed universally. So everyone has to be vaccinated if the governor of the state determines that they need to be vaccinated under a emergency problem.
Yeah, they tacked that on to something. I know that. They're always doing that.
Well, there you go.
Well, that hate crimes bill that Ted Pike was talking about, I think, is embedded in a Protection of Children Act.
Yes, the Child Safety Act.
Yeah, Child Safety Act.
No more.
Yeah, and so who's going to, you know...
Who's going to argue with that?
Nobody.
You know?
Well stated.
So.
Well.
Anyway.
You're all connected with what you're talking about here, and that's very, very important, and I hope the listeners understand.
Well, and something else I want people to understand about the economy is that when you hear the government talking about outsourcing and the export of jobs, they always use call centers. But the call centers are just not important at all in terms of what was exported. What's being exported are very high-end jobs in research and development, in defense technology. If you can believe that, George Bush agreed to send our defense R&D over to India.
Defense research and development?
Yes. Yeah.
Over to India?
Yes.
Well, that's for the UN system.
And the biotechnology, just all of the high-end knowledge jobs that were the future of this country, he signed an agreement with India to send them over there. And that's the full implementation of the GATS treaty, which is trade in services, which basically defines people as commodities to be traded, just like coffee pots and TVs.
Yeah, that's right. Under that negotiation of natural movement of persons that you were talking about the other day, Chris.
From the World Trade Organization, the negotiating group on the movement of natural persons. Yes,
right.
Well
yeah.
Stated. Now, why don't you all stay with me here and let's see what John has to say and bring John up and let's see where John fits into this. Because everything that anybody says interconnects to all of this because it's called the UN system, I'm sorry to say. Hello, John.
Well, hi, Chris.
Yes.
I'm glad you're here today. Last time we spoke, you were kind of down in the dumps and saying things like you might not be there at the end of the week.
We'll see what happens.
Trish, I think I've heard her comments before. Pleasant, perky little voice there.
Yes.
I always have something good to add. You know, listening to Vicky's comments, I've got to say she's underscoring a lot of thoughts I've had over basically the last 30 years of my life. I've just entered my sixth decade back in the spring, and things are all coming together. Suspicions I had, I've never been able to research things, and those that can are very fortunate, and the information needs to be disseminated. But, you know, I wonder, I mean, who are these entities that are sitting around and obviously getting paid handsomely, having a good lifestyle, to come up with some of these diabolical schemes that entrap us? And they seem to always lure us, like with honey, you know, better to use honey than vinegar. They lead us down these labyrinths that are so stocked full of other little bills and, you know, constrictions that we wind up willingly, it seems, going along out of ignorance and put ourselves into slavery.
Well, we'll have to bring back Gary Robertson and William Roberts together regarding the Uniform Law Commission. So why don't you three stay here as we wrap up the hour today and the broadcast, and we'll kind of conclude on all this. H.R. 3333, listeners, it's there. Got to be stopped. Every introduction of a legislative bill needs to be stopped today. Bottom line, we'll be back. Stay with us. As we close out the broadcast, keep in mind the Republic Trading Post, the Freedom Store, RBNLive.com. The archives are free. They shouldn't be free for very much longer, I don't think, listeners. I have no say in it, but the network has to continue. John, do you have a parting shot for us?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about some of the money I see sent out of the country. I've been in this area here in the panhandle of Florida for about 13 years now, and I go out and I see that there are wire transfer places like Western Union all over. You find them in supermarkets, you find them in a UPS store, formerly mailboxes, etc.
Uh-huh.
You know, every little, like, you know, quick stop place has them. And every time I go in, there is somebody who, hable español, señor, you know, and he's sending shoeboxes of cash out of the country. And, I mean, I have now reached my sixth decade, as I say, and I feel like I've never been poorer throughout all of my life. I mean, you know, and
yes,
these people are just raking it in and sending it abroad, which is pulling our economy down like crazy. You got to keep the money at home.
That's the objective, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. That's the U.N. system.
Yeah.
Redistribution of wealth.
Have a good weekend, everybody. I'm going to drop off.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
And I would like to say if money is the mother's milk of politics, then honey is the mother's milk of the Hegelian dialectic.
Ouch. That's really good.
Yes.
I couldn't have said that better myself. Wow.
That was right.
That's true.
Well,
yeah, what people have to know is that we can't sit back anymore. The mistake we made is that we trusted the people that run this country to be on the same side that we are, the American team, and all along they were on the UN team.
And we didn't question authority.
Yeah. And so, you know, they've used all these sociologists and psychologists to come up with these phrases. Are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Like clean skies or clear skies, clean water, sustainable development, healthy schools,
smart
growth, healthy children, safe schools, and all of these things as a sound bite sound just wonderful. But when you look into the detail, what they're doing is they're stabbing us right in the heart.
Yep, there it is.
And so we have to get, and it's not clear that even our state legislators know this stuff.
And that's why we've got to contact them.
Yes, because they're fooled by the sound bites too. You know, everybody thought, you know, we're all on the same team and we're not.
And well stated, Vicki.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate your presence, Vicki, and Trish, a parting shot for you.
Trish.
Make that statement again. Can you make that statement again?
Yes. If money is the mother's milk of politics, then honey is the mother's milk of the Hegelian dialectic.
That's it. That's it. That's it. Mm-hmm. Well stated. Well, we're out of time, and I appreciate your presence, both of you.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
Thank you. Good to be on here.
Thank you both very much. Once the secretary approves an employer's petition under Section 212N1, the secretary shall make available to the employer a list of the pre-screened available aliens who may be able to fill the open job position as described in the announcement posted by the employer on America's Job Bank. It's HR 3333. The Hegelian dialectic listeners, the UN system, do your research, study, and good afternoon. Thank you.